Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were coming to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John wore camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed to them, "The one who is coming after me is greater than I. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong from his sandal. I have baptized you in water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Jesus came from Galilee to John, and he was baptized in the Jordan. And as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descend on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said to him, "You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness tempted by Satan for 40 days. And he was with the wild beasts, and angels came and waited on him. Now, when John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee and began to proclaim the good news of God. He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near you. Repent and believe the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's just one of the most marvelous portions of the gospel that we've just heard today. And I've chosen to tell you from the whole beginning of Mark's writing just how that all fits together, because he gives such a good framework within which the rest of his story is going to unfold. We see images from the Old Testament, the wilderness, the Jordan River, pronouncements of prophecy and the fulfillment of them. The number 40, which stands for purification and cleansing. And there's the voice of God speaking and angels ministering to one of God's chosen. These are words and images that would have been very familiar to Mark's first audience. And they all would serve to point the listener in the direction of a special visitation by God. At the very least, a special visitation. But as we hear these words, God has come not just for a visit. God has come to stay. Earlier this year, we heard about John the Baptizer and how he was a prophet of both the Old Testament and the New. He's well versed in the religion of his ancestors, and here we see him appearing in the wilderness where he has been for most of his adult life. He is steeped in the sayings of the prophets, those holy men of old who were keenly attuned to the message of God for the people of Israel and Judah. They were so attuned, in fact, that no matter what the message was, whether it was deep comfort or stinging rebuke, they knew that they had to give that message to the people. Because if they didn't, they felt it within themselves and they suffered for not telling it. And so we see John the Baptizer coming to us from the wilderness with a message that cuts us to our very souls. Repent. One greater than I is coming. Repent. And the one he foretold appears to him for baptism. Jesus is baptized not because he needs to turn away from sin. The sinless one comes for baptism to acknowledge the truth of what John is proclaiming and to acknowledge it in a deep way. Jesus comes to turn his life in the only direction he can possibly go, more directly toward God's kingdom, more directly toward the fulfilling of those prophecies from old. Now for us, repentance often brings to mind our own faults, our shortcomings, our sins, the ways we have gone down a wrong path. We think of turning around, of turning away from those things, and it's right that we should do that. But Jesus' baptism means something somewhat different. Rather than turning away from something, truly he was sinless and that just did not apply. So instead of turning away, Jesus is turning his whole self straight toward his mission, which is to bring the whole of humanity, even the whole of creation, into the realm of God, so that everything will be perfectly in tune with God and God's purposes. As Jesus comes up out of that water, he receives a stunning confirmation that he is indeed on the right path. The heavens are torn apart. And not only Jesus, the Son of God, is here on earth, but the Holy Spirit rests on him and will never leave him. And the voice of God the Father speaks to him in the most loving of terms. You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased. How that must have filled him with delight. How that must have filled him with the assurance that he was indeed interpreting his Father's voice accurately. And for a moment he's able to bask in that wonderful delight of those words. And I'm sure he would remember those words often. But that wonderful time lasts but a moment. For now, Jesus is driven into the wilderness for a time during which he meets his enemy, Satan, who questions everything about what Jesus thinks he has heard. A time when he's with wild creatures. And I venture to say that some of them were probably not all that friendly. But it's also a time that he learns to accept the ministry of angels with gratitude. Having been tested in the wilderness, Jesus returns to his home country, Galilee. John the Baptizer has been arrested, and his time on earth is coming to a close. Jesus picks up where John has left off, and he will speak and live that message from this day forward. The words are familiar. Prophecies are being fulfilled. God's perfect will is being proclaimed. Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe in the good news." I myself love this particular version of Jesus' baptism. It's only in this version that the words of the Father are heard only by Jesus. And I'm reminded that one of the surest points of our Christian doctrine is that we are baptized into Christ. We are put right at the heart of who He is. And when He hears the Father say, "You are my Son, the Beloved," I too hear those words directly spoken to me. "You are my Beloved." Those words are God's words to all of us. And they are meant every bit as deeply as the first time that they were said, "You are my Beloved." And yes, the rest of those words apply to us too. "In you I am well pleased." You are my Beloved, and in you I am well pleased. How hard it is for us to let those words sink in and to accept them. And yet, they're true. Don't let anyone tell you any differently. And if you hear some voice from your past trying to talk you down, do not listen to it. It is your Father in heaven who has proclaimed this, and anything else is a lie. One of my favorite spiritual fathers is Bishop Stephen Charleston, who at one time had been the Episcopal Bishop of Alaska. Recently, he wrote a short column that serves as a reminder of the love of God that is given to each of us as individuals. And I quote his words: "We are walking in grace every day of our lives, whether we recognize it or not. Grace is there. It's always there. Grace, the healing we feel but cannot explain, surrounds us. It enfolds us. It protects us. Grace is the constant sign of the love the Spirit has for each one of us. The ever-present energy of love, the unspoken power of love, the sheer strength of love. That kind of love is within us and all around us all of the time. In harsh seasons and in abundance, grace sustains us. It lasts. It endures. It rejoices. We are all walking in grace, you and I, every day of our lives, even if we cannot see it, even if we cannot yet believe it. Look again, and there it is, a hand outstretched to you from a presence and a power beyond your imagining. The invitation to belong. Always." So I challenge you, hear the words of our Father and drink them into your innermost being. "You are my Beloved. In you I am well pleased." Turn fully toward God's perfect love, God's perfect will, and go forward in peace. Amen.